Hello.
Hello.
I am so excited to see you, Becca. I have so many thoughts.
I'm so excited to see you all too, and I have a lot of thoughts as well. And I'm guessing they're messing together.
Probably. I love how this came together. Like, so we're going to talk about Seeking Sister Wife, and we're recording this on Tuesday. It aired Monday, and we had no plans to cover the show at all. Like, I think I even forgot. I knew it was coming out soon. I caught it. I was like, oh, it's coming on. So I caught it last night. Immediately started talking to both of you guys about it. And then suddenly here we are recording about it because, oh my freaking God.
Truth.
So we have Pastor Becca, Dr. Becca with us today as our religious expert and reality TV connoisseur, and actually kind of a research expert at how those two mesh. But that's a whole other thing. Also, she's just really fun to talk to about this stuff. So anyway, so we're all going to talk about Seeking Sister Wife. But as we're talking about Sister Wife, can we just mention the news that broke tonight that Garrison of Janelle and Cody Brown has passed away? Trigger warning. He apparently self-inflicted. So we're not really going to say, I don't know what to say. What do we say about
something? Awful.
Really sad. You know,
his brother Gabe found him.
So bad.
So that's all that just broke tonight. I think the internet is still processing it because that's really like huge and big. And I think there's so many layers and complexities to it. So as it always is when it's something like that. So we'll just keep them in our thoughts and prayers and whatever kinds of I don't know. You're the pastor. You're the pastoral care on this kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just always hard, especially when it's by completion by suicide. So it's just trying to find ways to support and show people that they care. It's usually even harder because it's hard to wrap your mind around.
Yeah. So I guess, I don't know, seek care, right? Self-care, seek care. Seek out someone to talk to if this is triggering to you. I really don't want to get into a further discussion about it without really being educationally prepared for that kind of discussion. So we'll just leave it at that, and we'll move on to the, oh my God, insane Seeking Sister Wife.
Yeah. This show.
For those
First of all, it's a 45-minute episode without commercials, yet it took me like an hour and a half to watch because of all the dumb quotes I had to type out from these ignorant people. I have never felt so dumb typing out quotes.
The things you had to write. So what season of Seeking Sister Wives are we on?
How we got to five, I don't know, but we're all here. We're all engaged.
There are a couple of couples that were carryovers from last season, but I feel like none of that matters, right? You could just pick up with this as and just go straight into hell with the rest of us watching.
Well, and also none of the original people are still in it. So you can watch it from the beginning if you want, but you really don't have to.
There's a lot of really problematic people on it, like the Snowdens and things like that. And the Winders are no longer on, So it's gone through its iterations. Like you could just pick up fresh from this season, and it just aired Monday night. So, I mean, it's all fresh on TLC.
Well, I will say this is one of those shows that I've been watching in passing. I haven't actively been watching every episode but I've caught it here and there, and it's just I forgot so many things about how much I dislike Garrick and Nick, and then I saw it again, and I was triggered. I was texting Katrina. She's like, "Save it for the show. Save it for the show." I'm like, I can't.
I totally did.
But I'll try.
She couldn't. She was so disturbed by Nick in the 12-foot wide bed that she just, or 25-foot, whatever size that bed is. She was so disturbed. My gosh. Okay, we'll take us through it, and we'll commentate.
All right. So, season 5, episode 1. The episode starts off with my favorite male on the show, Nick, and his first wife, April, his second wife, Jennifer, and Danielle, who is his third wife. Now, I will say that Danielle looks super uncomfortable throughout this entire episode on the couch. I feel like she's already on the way out, but that's, we can talk about that later.
Yeah, her body language is very telling. Yeah.
She does not fit in like at all. And when Nick, one of the first things he said, opening his mouth, was comparing the reason why, or explaining the reason why he, one of the reasons why he chose to be in a polygamous relationship, was that he was watching Three's Company. Growing up. And it looked like
fun.
The women were having fun, and so was the man.
Oh my God. This is like how Tiger King is responsible for Gypsy Rose Blanchard marrying that guy, Ryan.
What? Wait, what?
Yes.
Yep.
Like the true story.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm interested.
Did you not watch the Gypsy Rose thing on Lifetime?
I don't remember.
Said he was like, it was like a bet or something back
then. Yeah, it was something weird like that. And they just like got together that way.
Oh,
it was like a bet he had, like where his friend was like, I'm gonna write to Tiger King, and he's like, okay, I'll write to Gypsy Rose,
right? Yes,
why not?
Yes,
okay, and then boom,
like, oh, that's like a normal way to meet people, anyway.
Right? Sure, completely normal,
man. Oh man,
okay, so Nick is the just for clarification purposes, he's the black guy and all of his wives are white. They were on last season, and then the last season ended with like their wedding. And Jennifer, the one with braces, I think is Jennifer. Yes. She was pregnant at their wedding, and she had this god awful weird contraption thing on. I don't know. It was like this weird, like Princess Leia type bra. And then her belly was all open, which I thought was actually kind of beautiful. Like, I think adorning her pregnant belly is actually kind of cool. I like that. But I don't think she executed it very well. But God bless her for trying, I guess. And so they had their wedding ceremony or whatever. Because I guess he says the way it works is he's not legally married to any of his wives. But the wives are married to each other. So the first and second wife are married to each other. Now they have to find a fourth wife.
This guy wants every opportunity to not have to do any work or have any responsibility. I mean, I thought it was a toss up between who I disliked more, Garrick or Nick. And I have to go with Nick because at least
really
Garrick. Yes. And you know why? And I trust me, because I cannot stand either one of them. But I mean, Nick doesn't work. He refuses to marry them. He's literally taking zero responsibility, whereas Garrick is just absolutely batshit. Excuse my language, Becca. I feel bad to hear. Batshit crazy. But at least he's providing or just trying to do something with his life.
I've never heard that word before, by the way.
Which I always feel like I'm going to be struck down by. Oh, can I have a quick side story, real quick?
Sure. It's
okay, because Becca's here, and I feel like it's appropriate.
Are you like going trying like confessional? Like is this like our new
tell
version?
Me your sins,
like
my child.
So, but there are some priests that come into my work at the restaurant, Catholic priests, and they were there a couple weeks ago. And the one priest is like 92 or 90 years old. And so he's like, I'm drinking a glass of wine during Lent. I don't care. Whatever. It was funny. Well, anyways, they're talking about bread and butter, and I don't remember how we got on this topic, but they're talking about church and confession. I don't know. And they're talking about bread and butter and wine. And I was like, made a joke about the bread and butter, saying, I was like, is it prison or church? And then they were all laughing. They're like, I don't remember like the exact punchline, but I was just like, I was saying something about prison okay, and church, and they were like, "Oh, you are so funny, Alexis." I was like, "Thank you."
Aww, like, I'm making I love jokes. That.
Big tip, big like, tip.
And it was totally just—it's not funny when I say it to you guys now. Completely not at all funny.
It was.
I just gotta find the punchline, and then it was—I don't remember, but it was funny at the time, and they laughed, and I made four old priests laugh. So that's that was great. Cool.
It reminds me of like there's a quote from the episode in Sex and the City, like the original one, not the reboot, but like. Where they went to like she they followed him big to church and they're like mm-hmm, talking about right. if there was a Zagat guide for churches and it's like I forget what it was, but it was something like great bread, disappointing wine selection or something. Reminds me of that, except with prison, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Except with prison. The Pruno selection is a little weak.
Oh, goodness. That's fantastic. I love that you just followed that story. That's
they don't give us as much fruit at this location. Would not recommend.
Oh,
zero stars. All right, so back to Nick and his 25-foot
bed. So we see them all shopping for their beautiful daughter Vera. She is adorable. And I get triggered again when Nick's looking at toys, talking about how, you know, he wants to buy her math toys. And I'm thinking, like, first of all, with what money? Because you don't work. And number two, are you really an intellectual or are you just pretending to be an intellectual? Because I would really trust the women to teach her math over him.
Doesn't like, I don't remember last season very much, but doesn't he just sit around and like pontificate?
Yeah, like that's they made job. A big deal about how he just like sits around and like reads basically
and like thinks and he say and he makes a comment at one point in the show about how the wives all work outside the home because of course, you know, and there's enough people doing, you know, bringing home the bacon and, you know, somebody needs to bring the love or whatever. So like, I just picture him in the middle of that bed all day long, like, and his wives, like, I don't know, like, fawning on him. And maybe, I don't know, and then the boom, the boom, 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 boom.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, that's what they call it in Bachelor World, too. Yeah, that's what they call it on Bachelor in Paradise.
The boom, boom.
On Jersey Shore, it was the mushroom. Oh,
that's funnier. I like that.
I like that. I like this.
Did you guys
mushroom.
Hear the comment of like when they were talking about positioning in the bed, how sometimes you need a little extra room for activities or whatever, or what they made like that comment Jennifer did about. So I'm thinking like,
oh, because right, you so never like, know who else they might invite in. They need room for the extra, the new wife.
Oh, I thought they were just meant like when they're sleeping, like I need a little extra room sometimes because you don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, no, I thought she was talking about adding more wives.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I could see how you could hear it that way, though.
Right, because I was like, okay, so are they messing around in the non-boom boom room?
No, see, I think, their whole storyline arc is Danielle's not ready for a wife to be added, right? Like, that's clearly going to be the storyline. So I think that's the, oh, we got the extra large bed because we're going to have more wives and... The whole thing's going to be about how we need to add more and more and more. And then, you know, and Danielle being more and more more uncomfortable.
Her facial expression said everything. And like you said, her body language. It was just like, I wanted to be like, blink if you need help. Blink three times.
Blink with that very harsh glitter eyeshadow that they
did on her. Do you guys think it's almost predatory behavior that he went after like a woman? I guess she's 24 now, right? Mm-hmm. So what was she like, 20?
Yeah, she was like
22
when they met. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I know that's old, I guess, you know, I get, okay, it's over 18, I get that, but like, I don't know, it's just, how old is Nick again, do you guys know?
He's in his mid-30s, right?
What do you like, I mean, they don't do this for a religious reason, right? Like, this isn't a religious thing for them, and they just like
company.
It right, he just wants it
with four people now.
but like, I don't know, Becca, like the there seems to be to me a lot of similarities to the ones who do it for religious reasons. Yeah. Like, what do you think about, like, what do you see as far as that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it might as well be religious than using that like religious, like, what's it called?
Like ideology?
manipulation. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, ideology, theology, whatever you want. Sure. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, this season is particularly fascinating to me because there's different aspects to religion. Like, every season has had its own religious things with different people. But, like, and we'll talk more about, like, the fact that there's actually an actual Muslim couple, which I'm like, I can't believe it took us this long. In season 5,
yeah,
like,
you're right, though, right?
But like, what I find interesting is that oftentimes even the non-religious groups, poly groups, tend to follow the similar rules, even if they're not doing it for religious reasons. So, like, he keeps with this concept of, like, the more wives the better, which is often the case with other folks who do this for religious reasons, which I find interesting. Whereas some of the others may not be subscribing to that who are non-religious.
Hmm. That's fascinating. I wonder why.
I feel like he has a God complex, and it's not, it's just like the fact that they sleep in the same bed and that he doesn't work. It's like, take care of me, worship me. Look at me. I'm so smart. I'm studying. I'm doing this.
The love, the providing all, you know, the thought.
I bet you he doesn't even cook. I will guarantee you he sits on his ass all day long. Well, now he has a kid. Like I told you in the text message, I give it like a few more months before he hires a nanny like Robin. And he refuses to even be a stay-at-home dad. I don't think he's capable of any sort of responsibility.
Well, we've only seen like a couple scenes where it's the women who are preparing the food. I've never seen him prepare food. That's not to say he doesn't, but like they've never shown that.
They've never shown that. Right. And I don't remember. I wasn't dedicated to watching it last season. So I don't remember a lot about how they all interacted. But I do recall that I felt like Danielle's presence was always very awkward. Like she was always had a weird like vibe, her face and her body, and it's like, okay, I'm just doing this for the cameras, right? You know, and then come now it's like she's been there 2 years.
But like, did you see how when Danielle was talking and she looked awkward, the other wives looked like they were holding back, like they look like smiling and but they look kind of like uncomfortable themselves. I don't know, I got that vibe that everyone was uncomfortable.
There's certainly some weird interplay happening there. And I wonder if it's because Danielle was added to the family for the wrong reason. She didn't know what she was getting into. She was kind of like brainwashed into it, you know, which I think was because you talk about her age and stuff. And she just seems very shell-shocked by life.
Yeah.
Kind of like her facial expressions and stuff. She just kind of like, I feel like she walks around with this like constant like, oh. Okay, you know, like, and just maybe Kate was like really sheltered before this, and so now all she has is this guy's thought leader thoughts on life, and I don't know, like, or if is it just, you know, is she really just uncomfortable with the storyline? Is it just purely storyline, and she's a bad actress? Like, who it could be something as innocuous as that? You know what I mean? It'll be interesting to see how they play plays out, like in episodes,
I definitely
want
to read you guys the quote that Nick said to, so we can be very specific on his words. Because then, Becca, maybe you have something you want to say to this. So he says, quote, "We have enough people dedicated towards earning wages. We need more people here thinking and feeling and understanding what this life experience is about." Okay. So they're not capable of
doing that, right? Like, so does that imply that that's not what they're doing?
Right. They're too busy.
They're too busy making money.
You can't do both. You can't be a thought feeling person and also earn wages.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I just feel like there's manipulation going on.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this clearly patriarchal God complex thing he's got from whatever, if it's not religious stemming, I mean it's clearly, like you said, Becca, like the connections to like the same behaviors and stuff to religious polygamy. Clearly there's this weird worship thing happening, you know, and it's all just very weird and uncomfortable. for because of that. Yeah,
and that's why I find this so fascinating, because I think, like, historically, polygamy doesn't have the best track record all the time. When it's like a bunch of women and one dude, right? Like, historically, that's very patriarchal, and like, that's the head of the household, and like, he's the one that calls all the shots, and everyone's just there to serve him. But what's interesting is sometimes they show other models where it's like actually sort of working. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they've moved past that because now we're in season 5 and we need all the drama. But like for example, like right. The Widmers were like, uh-huh. even though it was patriarchal, like it was clearly set in a patriarchal way, but like they all seem to be doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, it's, I mean, I wouldn't choose it, but it seems to be working for them. And so.
Yeah. And I don't get a feeling of like the women are being abused or trapped or, you know, like I don't get any sense of weird manipulation coming from what's his name. And he cooks. Mm-hmm. They've shown him cooking.
Totally. And they're very religious, right? Like, they've been very open about the fact that, like, the reason they're doing this is because of their religion. And so, like, it's kind of fascinating to me. Like, I watched that, and that they kind of changed my, like, perception of it, because I've originally been like, oh, patriarchy, can't do this. But now that I saw them, I'm like, well, I feel like in a small subset of people, like, maybe this is a thing that works. I don't know.
For whatever, like, it works, in a way that doesn't for other people, you know. They're all really young too, so maybe they'll be like the Browns, and as they grow and the kids grow up and all that stuff, they'll start,
you know. It was painful to watch all that.
The dysfunction there. But I mean, I don't think, I forget his first name, I want to call him Colt, but I don't
there was a Colt. Oh wait, the Windsors. I was thinking of the older guy with the four wives.
Oh, yeah. No, although that seemed to work for them, too, in a lot of ways.
Sort of.
It was Colt. It was Colt, and he was a pharmacist. He's a pharmacist. Yeah. I think his name was Colt. Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed you remembered that.
I don't remember much.
Okay. But... okay. So let's go back to Nick and his harem, because that's kind of what I feel like, especially with what's her name wearing like the harem like outfit at the wedding. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I think of this. I just like, I feel like she had like belly dancer like coin wrappings around her like belly and stuff, like, and I just have this image of the harem. I don't know. Anyway, what else do we need to know about Nick and his harem?
Well, that was the end of that scene for right now. Okay. Then we cut to the Sherwood family, who is a brand new family we haven't seen before. Shane and Ashley. And plot twist on this one, it's actually Ashley looking for a sister wife, but not for Shane, for herself. Now, did you ladies catch, like, is this some sort of, like, sharing of a woman, or is it just her dating the woman?
I think it's just her dating.
No. Okay,
just her.
No, because she said that the wife had to be willing to have Shane's biological child.
That doesn't mean they're like romantically involved.
It doesn't necessarily mean that there has to be a penis and a vagina for that to happen. However, that was my first thought. Because I was looking at two, right? Like, that was my first clue that maybe it would be. But I feel like they haven't fully explained it, and like, that's going to come. No pun intended.
Earmuffs, Becca.
Earmuffs. Again, never heard that said ever.
She's a married woman.
Well, I mean, that's like a really expensive like side chick to have like your DNA. And if you're going to do like IUI or IVF and not actually have sex, like, that's a process. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, at this point, either is plausible, because they haven't revealed enough information to make that judgment. Like they very carefully have like the way that they introduced him, right, and the way they were talking, it was like, oh, surprise, it's actually, you know, for me. It's because they were choosing their language very carefully as to not give it away.
Right. Or it was edited as such, and they then, did say it, and they just edited it to make it a twist later.
Of course.
Yes, exactly. And so I feel like when it comes to the sexuality, bed arrangements and things like that, that stuff will come too. Like they will, again, no pun intended, they will then reveal more information about
Can we talk about bisexuality on the show?
Absolutely.
Previously, I forget what season it was, but there was a couple and they were seeking their sister wife, and they were for a short time dating someone who they were on a date together with, and she revealed that she was bisexual, and it was really disappointing about how it went down, because the guy of the couple was basically like, so you think of yourself as bisexual? And she's like, I am bisexual. Like, right. And
I'm trying to remember.
And then like they cut to an interview and he's like, I don't understand. Like, we're not looking for someone to like have sex with my wife. And I'm like, that's not what bisexuality is, dude. Like,
did she say she was looking for
angry that like it was never addressed that was like not what was happening. Like, it was just the assumption, and it just was like, and then they weren't dating her anymore, and like that was
Okay, so that goes with something else that pissed me off in this episode, right? So they're sitting on the couch and he's talking, the freaking husband Shane was talking about how he dated this girl before and it turned out she was a lesbian, and he wondered if he did something that caused that. And I just about threw everything at my TV, because that's not how it works, you fucking moron. Right. So I think both of those things tie in very well together. Why don't you take it away?
And then in addition to that, like the whole plot, it seems like from the like this season on, is like him worried that she's going to leave him for a woman. Right. Like that's the whole.
Right. Because that's what happened to him before.
Super angry, because I'm like, that's not always the case for folks who are bisexual or pansexual or whatever. Like, there's plenty of people who are married to heterosexual like partners who stay with that part, right? Like, it just
like it doesn't make you like automatically polygamous or into polyamory, like just because you're bisexual, right? Or like, you know, just because like you don't care what's under the hood of somebody you're dating, you know, if you're in a monogamous relationship, for example, like, you know, I fell in love with and married you. I'm not interested in polygamy or polyamory in any way, but so I'm not intending to cheat on you just because I could cheat on you with more genders or more people. Yeah. Like, there's more people in the pool of possible cheating. So I think when you when you extrapolate that out to this situation, right, where, you know, he's worried that, oh, she's going to leave me for another woman. Well, you're conflating a lot of things there.
And it also just like continues this perception that like, if you're bisexual or pansexual, like you just want to have sex with everybody all the time. And it's like, well, no, you're not attracted to everybody all the time.
That's not like, how it works.
Like, okay, if you're hetero, you're not like attracted to every single male. So like, no, why, if you're like bisexual or pansexual, why would you be attracted to every single person? Like, I don't.
Or even if you find them attractive and theoretically would have intercourse relations with them, regardless of what kind of junk they're packing under the hood, right? Doesn't mean that you're interested in jumping people on the street and like banging them in a group orgy on like the corner of like Fifth and Madison. Like,
It just, I feel like there's just so many harmful narratives in this series about folks who don't fit the heterosexual norm. norm in quotes, right? And so like I got really excited at first because I was like, oh cool, like they're exploring someone who has a different sexual orientation. And then I saw what the plot was and I was like, oh.
Yeah, like just because she's, you know, she like you guys wanted to bring a sister wife, that's a certain dynamic you guys agreed to as a couple, right? And just because she happens to want to have a particular gender, whatever presentation, whatever it is that she prefers, it doesn't mean she's going to leave you for that person because of the gender, what they're packing under their hood, right? What are the, what their parts are. If she's going to leave you, it's because the dynamic of the three of you as a family doesn't work. Not because she's like so sexually, you know, provoke, you know, that she's out there like boning anything that moves.
I will say it was a little bit uncomfortable for me to watch her date while pregnant. And like, I'm like, and I'm not being like, you shouldn't date while you're pregnant, but I am saying like, you really want to go on a TV show and like focus on this right now when you're like, I don't know, gonna give birth and have a lot more things going on. But I mean, to each his own. I just thought it was a little strange, that's all. But who am I?
It's interesting that you said that because you are a single mom, so you were single while you were pregnant. Would you not date, have you didn't date at all while, well, I know you didn't date, you didn't date at all, that's true, but like, and you have, I mean, you still haven't, like, well, like merely, sort of, but like, yeah, sort of.
One person, but I mean, I'm not like judging her, but at the same time, I'm like, I mean, I know what I was like that
prior. But why are you kind of are like, there's like, it makes you uncomfortable for some reason.
I guess because for me, I was like, thinking about like, A, your body, you're fatigued, you're exhausted. Like you've got 1,000 things going on. And like just prioritizing wise, like you've got a husband, you're pregnant, I just like feel like maybe your energy's not in the right place, but that's just me. I'm being judgy, I guess. It is coming off judgy, but I just felt I don't know. Maybe that's a good point. Like, why am I uncomfortable watching it? I'm just like, I don't know. Why am I uncomfortable?
It's interesting too, because she even mentioned that, because she was like, you know, like being pregnant and like dating is taboo, and so it's interesting.
Well, when she said that too, they hadn't revealed that the wife was for her. They said she was dating and it's weird pregnant. I was like, okay, they're doing that because, you know, they're, I don't know. I didn't know what to expect, right? But I figured it was in line with the fact that the other partner always dates the person too. You know, they're both dating the person at the same time. So I just took it that that language was in line with that.
I missed a lot of like parts too. Like I was coming in and out with Kaya, but like, and then I did hear, you know, she didn't want, or, you know, the girl that she was dating, Grace, who was her wedding makeup artist, which is, again, this was all weird to me. I'm sorry. But then she didn't meet the husband yet. So he felt upset and he felt, you know, confused. And so he's asking her, like, are you sexually attracted to her? And I was like, this is like a weird love triangle. Why does the girl not want to meet the husband? But you're going to be a part, you know, potentially a part of the family. I don't know. It just, the whole storyline to me just didn't sit with me right. I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're just doing it to be on TV. This is what I'm thinking. Like, honestly, I'm just like, is this real? Like, is she?
I feel very like there's a large producer hand in this, but at the same time, I know that people are weird in the sense that, like, they can't handle a normal, like we were just talking about, like a normal bisexuality, the concept of it, right? They're weird in that they can't handle that kind of, you know, that idea. And so, like, I mean, it's possible he is really just kind of that terrible, you know, about the whole situation. Or it could be like, because the editing seemed weird, because he was like, so... Because he was asking these questions, these very pointed questions about, did you feel a spark? What kind of kiss was it? And she was very, I don't know, it's fine. Like, she was very nonchalant, blowing him off.
Weird.
And there was the energy between the two of them did not match for that conversation. So it felt very edited, very producer something off with it.
I mean, I'm happy, but I will say I'm happy that she is able to be open with him in her feelings and they're communicating that, because, you know, some men would have ran or for the hills or whatever. So it seems like he's being supportive in whatever way he can be.
I would be interested, Becca, also your thoughts on the fact that she was saying how she, you know, she grew up in this really, you know, conservative family household. And so being bisexual or interested in women was not on right. her table. And now that it is, you know, she's exploring that. And I would be interested in your thoughts on that as a doctor of God.
But that's what Nick is.
Did you guys realize that we're all doctors here?
Nick is the only doctor of God.
I'm a juris doctor. Lexi's a doctor of oriental medicine, and you're a doctor of God.
Triple D's, guys.
Yeah. Amazing. Moving on. So
Becca's like, I'm never coming on the show again.
This is the best. I love it. I look forward to it ever since we decided to do this like a few hours ago.
I know, right?
Yeah, I found that interesting. And like, I also found it interesting, and maybe they just cut it for time, but like, I would love to know how she got to the point where she was like, oh, I identify as bisexual. Mm-hmm. Because like, coming from a background of that, that's not super easy to realize that about yourself if like your whole life you've been taught that's wrong and that's not something you're allowed to even consider. Mm-hmm. So I do, right?
Bad and yeah. evil, and according so to Garrick
I
and
do
Danielle.
Wonder, like, I wanted to hear more about like, how did she realize this? And instead, of course, they focused on the other stuff, like, oh, my first sexual encounter with a woman was in 2023, and like, you know, I realized I was bisexual in 2021, and like, there was a gap because I was like figuring things out. I'm like, okay, well, that's cool, but like, can we rewind and like talk right. more about
the Fraudcast? We'll be right back. Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
And now back to the show.
Doctors, come on, we're doctors. Anyway, going back to Shane and what's her name? How has she got to where she, what is her name? Ashley. I'm getting all their names confused with the other polyamory show I'm watching that's coupled to Thruple on Peacock Network, which is, oh my God, that's a whole interstate trip. Anyway, so here on this island.
You're on this island.
On this island that we're on, yeah, how she got there. I hope that they show some of that, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the date ends abruptly when he texts her, and basically she says, he's had the baby all morning, so I have to, you know.
Yes. That was weird, too. Like, if you're making a date, you plan it, and you're like, I mean, wouldn't you plan, oh, I'll be home around this time? Or, like, I mean, obviously, if there was an issue, you could call me, and I could come home earlier, you know. But, like, that seemed weird.
It was all weird. I'm telling you, something does not sit right with me with the storyline. I don't know, there's just something off about everything.
I think the dating Grace was a complete waste of time. I think it was a complete producer bullshit mm-hmm. thing. Like, it was like we needed to get somebody in there. Like, whoever she was really dating wouldn't film or something.
You are probably right, yeah.
So they got somebody else to film and pretend like they're going on a date because there's absolutely no spark, no nothing, but they needed something to mm-hmm. show.
Yeah, maybe. Well, especially because we see in the previews there's somebody else that he ends up dating right. later that he gets very threatened yeah. by. So
yeah.
Yes, which
scene.
maybe getting a sister wife is not the best idea for you if you're being yeah. threatened. Feel threatened
and
in this situation.
And I also feel like that's just a constant like theme in this show that mm-hmm. I am slowly getting sick of a little bit. Like, I'm just like, if you've already decided that this is like the alternative family unit you want, then like I understand that mm-hmm. things come up and you don't expect it, but like also like the amount of jealousy, I'm just like, okay, so like there's jealousy, work through that. And instead they're just like, I'm going to stomp around and be mad. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, maybe this lifestyle isn't for you.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Like you said, like if you've already made the decision that this is like, that's a big issue that you needed to have worked through to make that decision. If you haven't worked through that stuff and you've already made this decision, like perhaps you're being manipulated into doing this that you don't really want to do.
I feel like communication is key. Therapy is good for all kinds of couples. Monogamous, polygamous.
All the people.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yep.
Everybody.
You might get a 2-for-1 with a therapist if you've got more than 3-for-1, 2-for, I don't know, group therapy session.
On the couple to thruple show, they have like a relationship expert who's a relationship expert in poly relationships and helps people like navigate some of those issues. Like, and one of the people, actually one of the singles on that show, like her job in real life is as at the a poly mm-hmm. therapist to help people making these transitions, help couples and help individuals and all that stuff make those transitions. I'm like, that's really good. You know, you need those. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so I literally typed out, the Merrifield family. It literally says, on my notes. The producer's like, are you ready to do this again? Dun, dun, dun.
Why are they back, though?
Let's have a brief history of the Merrifield family on the show.
Yes. So they were bamboozled, basically, and scammed by this woman from Brazil named Roberta.
Bamboozled by Berta.
No. Yeah. So somebody said too, like on Reddit, she took $10,000 from them.
Yeah, that's a standard thing that is out there. That okay. like they sent her money because I guess her mom had like medical bills and like as she was planning on coming, that she needed some money to come or like whatever, and she just took the money and ran basically.
Yeah, she had a, quote, doctor's appointment for her mom for her diabetes and blood pressure checkup.
Right.
Because they covered that at the end of last season, which I did watch a couple of those ending episodes when Danielle was, they flash back to here on this episode, but where Danielle was, like, crying hysterically about, she said she was my sister.
So, a couple things, right? They did get legally divorced. So Roberta could come over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they could do a 90-day fiancé visa on her.
Little spinoff show. And also they made an agreement when they first went over to meet Roberta, I think in Mexico, that he would not have sexual relations with her, right? Until like it was deemed, I guess, an appropriate time that they've all agreed upon or whatever. And he had sex with her the first night he met her. Right. Mm-hmm.
Right, yes. They had the quickie.
So this guy, what are your thoughts, Pastor Becca? What are your thoughts on Mr. Garrick?
Well, just in general, or like...
Before we get into what he said,
what I was going to ask, do you want me to talk about him in general, or like...
His okay, do you want me to... Okay, I'm the, I have the quote written out, if you want to start with that.
Oh my gosh, please do.
Okay, so Danielle and Garrick are sitting on the couch talking about scriptures, where they decided that they were going to follow polygamy. And Garrick says in the scripture, it says, quote, he fills you with the Holy Ghost. He's talking about being a sexual term, and it's about sperm going into like a intimacy that way, which doesn't even make sense. And even scientifically, we found that when a man and a woman become one and his sperm, I can't even read this, and his sperm goes into the woman, his DNA becomes a part of her and actually goes into her brain, and she becomes one with him. But yet the woman can't transfer her DNA back to the man. So it like showed the proof of how Christ is with his church. Like he transfers to us. We don't transfer to him. It's a beautiful thing when it's done right. End quote.
Yeah.
Silence.
And Dr. Becca, go for it. Where do you start with all of that?
To be fair, I didn't realize the first episode had dropped until Katrina literally just sent this clip with like no context.
She sent it to everyone, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
and I was just like, I don't even what. So first of all, being filled by the Holy Spirit is not sexual. I just want to be very clear.
Do we need to, I feel like I kind of need to go over your qualifications, like in court, like is qualify you as an expert about why you know that this is not a sexual term, but maybe I think our listeners are smart enough to understand. I mean, you've got multiple doctorates.
So, as Katrina would say, God. I have 3 degrees in God. So, but yeah, so being filled by the Holy Spirit is supposed to be like a spiritual experience. It's, you know, like feeling God powerfully present, right? It is not, I can't even say this with a straight face. Like it's not supposed to be. I mean, okay, so let me rephrase. There are some mystics through the years that have talked about powerful spiritual experiences that also have like a sexual dimension, but that's not like all the time, right? Like that's not something, anytime you're filled by the Holy Spirit, is it a sexual thing? It happens sometimes, but it's like,
is it like having an orgasm so good you're like seeing sure, God?
Or more likely it's a powerful intimacy with God that feels like the human version of sexuality. Does that make sense?
Okay, so there's
a sexual component to it, or can be, but it's not. Being filled by the Holy Spirit isn't in itself a sexual thing, if that makes sense. Okay.
Yes.
Everybody's with me.
No, we've been with you.
So I did some little research because I was like, where did this even come from? Did he just come up with this or like whatever? And he did not come up with this, which is almost
being the brain trust that Garrick is. He actually did.
Nick came up with it when he was sitting there thinking about God and life with his three wives.
Very possible.
Somebody has to sit there and think.
I don't remember what I Googled, but it was something ridiculous. And
now it's in your Google history.
Right. I would have to go back and look because it was something like Holy Spirit filling sexual, like, I don't know, something ridiculous. But anyway, I'm going to get weird ads. But I can't wait to see what ads pop up now. But
oh my God.
Apparently, T.D. Jakes, who is like a famous preacher, writer, whatever. Mm-hmm. Apparently in a message of his, actually used similar language. So he preached a sermon describing the Holy Spirit, word of God, as his sperm or semen that's used to impregnate. So I'm going to quote him or part of what he said. He said, "For it is the word that convicts and it is the word that transforms. It is the word, my brothers and sisters, that is in fact the very sperm of God. It is the semen of God. It is how God impregnates the human spirit, is by his word." And then I'm going to skip. It says, "It's not the word that falls on you. It's the word that falls in you." Sorry.
I'm closing my eyes so I can really focus on
that. No.
He's sorry, Jesus.
He says, "When the word gets in you, you become impregnated with the word of God." So,
but he's not talking about actual it's like semen symbolism, there.
Right? Or whatever. Right. What's
so,
the word?
So as problematic as this metaphor is.
Metaphor. There we go. That's the word.
It is a metaphor, right? Yes. Like he's using it as a way to talk about what it means to have God's word in you. Okay. Again, problematic, but sure.
Sure. Okay.
Eric takes it one step further and decides that it's literal. And then randomly talks about the fact that somehow a man's semen gets to a woman's brain.
Crosses the blood-brain barrier.
Yes, commented that on social media as my new hero.
Yes.
Right. It's... You got y'all sperm does not cross the blood.
And then it becomes a weird, and then he decides to get metaphorical and say that that's how like it is with Jesus, because like we like Jesus gives us stuff, but we don't give stuff back to him. And like, I don't even know what to do with that.
Garrick always has this look of like utter confusion on his face. So I don't even think he knows what he's talking about. Like, I think his,
he doesn't like, blink. He has serial killer eyes. Oh, watch
I,
next
I
time.
See it. He's just.
He's serial killer eyes. He doesn't blink. He's just
oh my gosh. If you guys could just see Katrina right now. It's so true.
But if you're talking about faces, look at the two faces of Danielle. She's like that episode of Seinfeld where that woman had two faces. Danielle is that woman. And in that interview, you see both of them. And then you see a not seen before third one where she apparently got her lips done at some point and she doesn't know what to do with them, with that whatever like weird lip thing that she has that was probably some kind of, you know, medical condition or something where she like talks kind of funny with her lips. But then with the lip filler, like I'm not like whatever, she talks funny with her lips, whatever, that's a thing. But then she got this lip filler and now she doesn't know what to do with this. So like we have like the three faces of Danielle. One more than the ends.
I will say that her facial expressions during that whole thing was what really sent me, right? Like,
yes.
Like, obviously, the gobbledygook coming out of his mouth was like a whole other level. But then you see her trying to not react. And that was like my entertainment for the evening right there.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's like, well, not enough Botox for this.
it was just, but then the sad part about it also is that like I'm sitting there and I'm like, she doesn't feel like she can say anything because she's in a patriarchal relationship where that's not allowed. And so like I was laughing about it at first and then I was like, oh crap, like she can't say anything because she.
That's the other side of this. People are like, why is she not left him? You know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, just, you know, all the other things like a large wife and small wife. And like, I mean, like when they called Bert the small wife and Danielle was large, like I'm the big wife. Yeah.
Kind of.
I forgot about that.
Couple seasons.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's just a stupid, superficial, like disrespect. That's not all the other levels of disrespect that he does. But people, you know, want to know, why does she stay? Why? What is it about this? I saw this comment on social media, which I think would be interesting to hear also in with your response is they, you know, did she grow up really poor? And now that she's with this guy, Garrick, who is doing really, really well financially with their company and their custom homes and all that stuff, like she can't leave because she's like got these golden handcuffs type of thing. But what you said about the patriarchal thinking is really interesting because she tries to, I think she comes across as this strong woman. But clearly she's not really. So talk me through that.
So it reminds me a lot of people were asking about who's the Duggar, Anna Duggar, and why she wouldn't leave. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's the same reasoning because oftentimes there's just not options, first of all, because they're not expected to have any other skill sets except being married, right? But then in addition to that, like you are trained, you get married to this person and you do what they tell you to, and that's what you do. And so like.
But see, that's in the Duggar world, right? But like. the Garrick and the Merrifields, like, they didn't come from this. This is like a uniquely Garrick.
They came from a cult. More conservative Christian background, though. They did, yeah.
Oh, did they? Okay. He does talk about his pastor. So clearly there's some kind of organization. And I don't know
but they briefly mentioned it when they first got on the show. So there's some sort of high control, very law heavy type of religious background for them. And because she's also said like he's the spiritual head of the household and things like that. And usually people that come from that background. Yeah.
And then that's kind of the only answer that like you have when there is certain things about why she puts up with and with certain things, right? Is because like the only answer can be really is that that's her head of her household and she has to do.
And then a lot of people online too were like, she seems so insecure. I think she's easily manipulated too. I don't think she's necessarily insecurity. I think it's, he spits a lot of nonsense out of his mouth and he probably does it in a way off camera that seems very convincing. I mean, I don't see it, but I'm sure in her world where that he is her world, right? He is the quote leader. He is the, I don't know.
Yeah, she thinks it's nonsense. You can tell by her facial expressions, but she can't say any of that because, like you said, Becca, she comes from this patriarchal society or whatever. And like this, clearly it's a high control group, which I think is really important that you actually mention that, because I don't even think about it when I with these two. I never associate like organized religion with them of any kind, because even though they talk about it being for religious reasons, it's like their stuff seems so much more. There's so many other things about them to discuss that like the religious aspect doesn't seem to be a big aspect of their story often in that, like, I don't associate them with this like high control group, but you're mentioning this and that they'd said this. And that I think paints some really important context to why she is the way that she is about like sitting there looking at him sort of adoringly, you know, while he's spouting this nonsense about Jesus' sperm.
And I
yes, I said it. I mean, sorry.
Not to move away from Jesus' sperm, but but it also makes me think of like in Welcome to Plathville. You've got the young couple, and I'm blanking on their names, but Ethan and Olivia. And like Olivia like goes through this deconstructing where she was in, you know, this high control religious group just like they were. And some of them still are, and came out the other side being like, I don't want to live that way anymore. Like, I have no desire to be under the thumb of men and have to follow all these specific rules as a woman. Like, that's bunk. And his whole thing is like, why can't you just go back to the way you were? And she's like, I'm not going to go back to like having to like obey you. That's insane. I'm not doing that. Right. But in his mind, he's like, why can't you do that? It's fine. Right. Because it serves him. And so like that kind of gets us back to Nick.
Oh, my God.
Like, what does it look like to build a high control group where everyone is serving the man and the other people are expected to live certain ways and follow certain rules and everything is regulated? That's patriarchy.
Yeah.
Right.
And I also, oh, sorry.
Speaking,
I have another quote by infamous Garrick. Right before we had that long quote, he made another idiotic statement saying, quote, having sisters and your best friends, it doesn't happen in a monogamous relationship. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there too, because I'm like, what planet is he on?
Oh. But that what you said about patriarchy makes sense because she wouldn't be allowed to have friends
or have anything that competes with her taking care of him.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Look at that.
See, this is why I have 3 degrees in Todd.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. See? Okay. So with Garrick and Danielle, with the two N's, they are dating again. They have this other Brazilian
Roberta 2.0.
Gosh.
Right. And they spend this episode, oh, we're going to tell, you know, the brother and sister.
Can
whatever,
I just talk about the editing in this episode? Was like, whoever did the editing should get a raise, because like, not only did they have the twist of the bisexual wife, but then they also did the twist with like, oh, and by the way, she's also from Brazil. Like, that was like very masterfully done.
Yes. Yes. Editing, masterful editing. It's like the editors, and I always say this, the editors on Below Deck deserve Emmys, because the things that those guys put together, those people that, whether it's the producers, the editors, cut, you know, I don't know whose job it is to cut that film, but they're always cutting these masterful sequences that I love. And this was on that level. Yeah.
Well, I noticed 100%. Garrick has a type. That's for sure.
What?
It's not. It's the opposite of Danielle. That's for sure.
It's not Danielle. That's for sure.
And first of all, Danielle's beautiful. I'm just saying, like, dark hair. You know, he's going after dark hair, like
Latino women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, Brazilian specifically. Which is really interesting. That's a whole other angle. Why did do you think that he has this predilection for this particular subset of women? Is there something with it? And I wonder what even more subset there is, that like where they found him, about like what kind of vulnerabilities they have that he sees, that's what he seizes on.
And I've wondered about that, because I was thinking about when they said, oh, and she's from Brazil. And of course, everyone loses their minds, which was to be expected. But I was remembering when they went down, when they finally made it to Brazil, and Berta. Sorry.
Bert. They call her Bert, actually.
They went to go see where Bert grew up. And it was like the socioeconomic level was like super disturbing, because like she was coming from a background where like they were scraping to eat, right? And then we have this situation where clearly that couple is well off, that they can go on vacations and like fly down to go see her and pay her money, right?
The amount of money they've given to her and spent on this whole endeavor, and immigration fees
totally.
And costs,
and so it made me think, like, man, like, is part of this just he likes the idea of having women like beholden to him because he has the ability to, right?
Captain
like,
Sabo?
Is that part of it? Like, why do they keep, and I'm not saying, obviously everyone from Rio like has financial issues. I'm not saying that.
Right. Just,
yeah.
That's why I was asking, like, what additional, there's some additional subsection that of these individuals beyond just that they're from Rio, you know. There's clearly something else under there, some other subset he goes to, that they have these vulnerabilities that he's aware of and chooses to seize upon.
And it seems like neither
of
them spoke much English, right? Like, so because they're using the translator app in the preview, which also makes them beholden to him in a way.
Yes.
Because if they're coming back to the States and they can't speak English, like, obviously they may learn it eventually, in which case then they'll be less so. But like, at least at first, like, it's hard to get around the US without knowing English.
Yeah.
And what's disturbing to me is they mentioned that it started getting serious, quote, 2 months into the relationship. So they have not learned their lesson, right? From the first time around of,
well,
Garrick
hasn't learned his lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, taking your time, I don't know, not trusting someone, dating someone that's 26, like, come on, like, wake up. So he's definitely, you know, wanting to control and manipulate.
But yeah, somebody also on social media mentioned, they said he's like trying to build his own cult. And I thought it was really interesting, Becca, you said that about Nick building his cult of these women,
group, but yes.
You know, worshiping him. The high
control group, sorry. Terms,
but the appropriate... That's the appropriate term. No, I've been doing a lot of research on that stuff lately, because we've been talking to like Emily Lynn Paulson and talking to Roberta Blevins about the MLM stuff and cult stuff associated with that, right? So yeah, it's more the high control group is what sort of like the common denominator amongst all of these things. It's the that. So somebody said, yeah, he was trying to build his own like high control group. And again, I don't know why I don't see it as much from them as I do from some of these others, but maybe it's just because of the way that they spin him. And I'm so fascinated by his like lack of blinking and whatever Danielle's doing with her mouth and her lips that like I can't focus on anything else. I don't know.
He scares me.
Garrick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still hate Nick more, but Garrick scares me.
Yeah, so this is going to be interesting. Like, I really want to, like, now that I have this, like, oh, you know, eyes opened a little bit more to him. Like, I'm curious to see what they show on it and how all those little pieces. Because you could see, like, the control and things like that, like, in little bits. But they, like, they don't show a lot of him being, like, super, super controlling over them. But you see, like, the result of it. Like, you don't see him say, go sit down over there, but you see what the end result of it is, of the manipulation and the her sitting there, you know, politely by his side. Like, right.
He also doesn't have to say that anymore. Like, it's so ingrained in their relationship that she does it automatically, most likely.
The Fraudcast will be right back. And now back to the Fraudcast.
Speaking of patriarchy, so then there's this other couple. So there's one couple that we see in future episodes, but we weren't introduced to them on this episode, so we won't get into them. But this other couple, the Muslim yep. couple, can we talk about, let's get to them, because there's so many things to unpack with them. The first thing I was going to say, the patriarchy thing, was because one of her comments about why she wants to do this is because, look how great my man is with me supporting him. Imagine how much greater he can be with somebody else supporting him. And the angry feminist in there, my vagina just ripped its, you know, my ovaries out and threw them at the TV.
Sounds very painful.
So do you know what I heard when she said that?
I'm not using them anymore. You can have them.
What I got from that was, I'm really tired of dealing with this bullshit. I want somebody else to have to take over and share the responsibility because I don't want to divorce him, but he's annoying me and I just don't want him all the time.
And yeah, you honestly, share the load with him. And
interesting. I heard more of what Katrina said, but now I'm curious.
I don't know. Maybe it's all the trauma in my life and my relationships, like my family. But I'm like, I got from that was like, please, God, take him off my hands because he's annoying the hell out of
me. So this couple, they're Muslim.
The Salahuddin. No. I'm going to want to butcher the name. The Salahuddin family. Salahuddin.
And they said, so I'm curious about this, Becca, and if you could use one of your degrees in God to educate me. You don't need to invoke all of them. That's okay. So they said they follow all of the tenets of Islam. What are those specifically? Because like she only covered her head and everything. She put her garment on while they were praying, but she doesn't wear it other times. Is that like being the if you know, of course I sound like a lawyer here, if you know, can you tell me like wearing a hijab, is that's not a tenet of
Islam? Talking more about like the actual practices and religion of Islam. They're not talking about like the dress and everything are not standardized for the religion itself, right? Which is why you meet Muslim women who are wearing normal street clothes. Then you also meet Muslim women who have the full gear on. So that was my understanding of what they were saying there. What I found interesting is that, A, I said this before, that it took us this long to have a Muslim family unit on this. Because
given
the fact that there are polygamy traditions is different of the Muslim sects, right? S-E-C-T-S, not S-E-X.
I not Jesus is sperm.
Right.
Sect.
Right. So talk so much about sperm. I just want to be very clear. But like, for example, Sunni and Shia traditions in Islam have documents and traditions where men are allowed to have up to four wives. And so like, it's weird to me And of course, they made it very clear that, like, that's not why they're doing this, though. Right. They just said, like, right. they're used to the idea because of their religion, because.
They're more open to it. And, like, they've seen it and totally. Had examples so, of it.
But again.
But even though it would be a great excuse for them to be like, religion, oh, right. yeah, we because. But they're not making it.
No, about which their is religion. Also fascinating. But, like, I can't believe it took us this long to get here. Till season five, when there are like full on traditions in the Islam world where this is a normal thing. And so then we Absolutely, have to have a whole conversation 100%. About like xenophobia and racism and like all sorts of stuff because, like,
oh my God.
It just
yes.
makes me so angry that it took us this long to get here. That's all.
yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. They, so, They say they've been practicing this, but like
how?
when I always find it interesting when they say, "Well, we say we've been practicing this, but does that mean they've actually had wives or what? Whatever." And then it got me thinking that, well, all of them say that we've been practicing this, whether they have or haven't had a wife. I guess that means that that's when right. they decided to be open about it and start deciding that. It's a little weird to me to say, like, we're polygamists, but we're not
in a What's weird to me, well, not weird to me, but something that's interesting is that she said that the future sister wife does not have to be Muslim, but she has to believe in something and be spiritual. So what interested me about that is, like, they seem very, you know, like they do their prayers, they have their, you know, they do their thing. So to bring somebody else on that's not part of their religion, would that really affect the relationship? I mean, I don't know. If they are, quote, so Muslim that they...
They follow the tenets of Islam means they pray right. five times a day.
So they do, like, the fasting for Ramadan and they... Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. So if they're bringing somebody else on who doesn't fit in with that, would it affect the relationship? I don't know.
That seems weird. That seems like to me on like a fundamental level, like, you know, like I'm not going to date a guy who's like a triathlete or who goes out like riding his bike on a like 26 miles on a Sunday morning, just because like that's right. not my lifestyle. Right.
Like, I'm not going to sit out in the couch and eat a whole pizza while you're fasting for Ramadan in front of you. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Right. Like, so. On that level, like, lifestyle compatibility seems like a big deal. Like, and it may, I mean, certainly you could make it work. I certainly see it could make it work, but I feel like it would be hard just on an interpersonal level. How do you mesh those relationship lifestyles?
And we've seen it on 90 Day and all kinds of shows. It doesn't really work. A lot of times it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, like, so as a pastor, I do, like, premarital counseling with people. And oftentimes, if right,
interfaith
so like
stuff.
If there's a differing faith journey for both of them, like those are conversations that need to be had because oftentimes, like, for example, it's like, okay, like you're say one celebrates Christmas and one doesn't. Okay, like what are your holiday plans? right. And you'd be surprised at how many couples just haven't had those conversations. Yeah. Really? Like a lot of them just are like, oh,
like they're going to get married and they haven't like gone through a holiday season where, you know, there is or isn't resentment about a Christmas
yeah,
tree.
Like, I
know?
Guess just not like they just haven't figured it out. Or like, okay, like your family is celebrating this thing. And then you've also got these other religious holidays over here. So like, is your family going to be involved in these religious traditions? Is your family going to be involved in these religious traditions? Right. And like, having those conversations are so important because if you don't like figure it out, you're going to have major headaches later where you're trying to like juggle multiple faith traditions and don't know what you want out of them for both of you.
I feel like from a lifestyle compatibility point, like that would be difficult in something like faith when it, if neither of the parties or none of the parties care about it that deeply, then whatever, it's not a big deal. But for those people for whom it is very serious and a big part of their life, like part of that is having people in my life and relationship compatibility that understand that about me, you know? And I don't want somebody who's going to think like, if they don't agree with it or that they're not part of it or whatever, like that's going to affect my spirituality, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So that's going to, and if this is such a big deal to me and you're not being involved in it affects mine, like that's a problem.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I come from an interfaith household. So, right.
Yeah. I'm like, don't you?
So my dad's Jewish and my mom's Roman Catholic and now I'm Lutheran. So of course, like family dinners are just a smorgasbord of different religious traditions, but smorgasbord is,
but that would be a good,
yes,
food
true
wise.
We have all the good food. When I was in seminary, one of my classmates called me a pizza bagel, which I thought was really pizza funny. Anyway,
an everything pizza bagel with lox.
Yes, I hate lox, but my husband likes it, so we can take it off and give it to him. I think it's gross. But we digress.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Welcome. We digress.
But like, so
interfaith, like, households.
That's not to say that people can't be together and have different spiritualities or different religious traditions, right? Like my parents did it. And obviously it wasn't perfect because like I grew up like confused for a while. I didn't know that like Jewish and like Roman Catholic were like different things for a good portion of my life, like until at one point when I realized like, oh, I celebrate both Hanukkah and Christmas and those are two different faith traditions. Like I think I figured it out somewhere around middle school. but I think that if it's done well, right, like my parents had those conversations and how they were going to raise us as children and all of that, and like it worked. I mean, they got married by like an agnostic minister because they couldn't find a rabbi and a priest to come together in like the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I guess back. I mean, I feel like now that's really common.
Depends.
I feel like I know a lot of interfaith households that are, you know, Jewish and Catholic, yeah. Like just personally, I know. So I feel like that's more of a thing now.
Probably more likely now, but it's still like weirdly difficult sometimes to get clergy from two different faith traditions to like come together to do.
I was gonna say, like, in the Catholic religion, don't you have to go through like intense counseling and the other person has to join the church for you, a Catholic priest, to marry? Is that true? I don't know. That's what I
so heard. This is a fun story. So when it was time to get confirmed in my faith as a Roman Catholic when I was growing up, which is much later, Catholics tend to do it much later. In more Protestant traditions, it's usually middle school. I was 17. And at that point, I was like, well, I believe in God, but like, why do I have to do that? I don't really care about it. And my mom was like, I have two reasons for you. She was like, one, if you don't do it, my mom, your grandma, is going to kill us both. Which is, of course, a wonderful reason to like become an adult in the faith. Right?
Oh, it's a great reason.
But two, when you get married, you're going to want to get married in the Catholic Church, and you need to be confirmed to do that. That was the second reason.
She was telling you you're going to get married in a Catholic Church.
Aha! Uh-huh. Jokes on you, okay. Mom. in church. But anyway, at the church I interned at as a pastoral intern to become a pastor.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But point being that like, yes, in theory, there's rules around that. Now, with that said, the Catholic Church has dispensations that you can apply for. That doesn't mean you're going to get them, but it means that like you can apply for what they call a dispensation. So like when I took contemporary Roman Catholicism in my undergrad classes, because I was still Catholic at the time, literally one of my final exam questions was like, a couple wants to get married on a cruise ship by the captain and one of them isn't Catholic. What dispensation forms do you have to fill out?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? It's like a below deck mashup in there.
Right. And there's like
multiple
dispensations because you need to get married by a priest. So that's one dispensation that you have to, because you're getting married by.
Oh, because you're going to have Captain Carey do it.
You
not
have to get a dispensation for it's not happening in a Catholic church.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the deck. You have to get the dispensation for the fact that you're marrying someone who's not Catholic.
Wow.
So what if you're a woman and you were also not covering your shoulders? Would that matter? Or is that only in a Catholic church?
If you were in the Catholic church in the 60s, yes.
Okay, so no, I was like, I came of age of wedding planning age on the internet, the early aughts, right? Like where the bulletin board wedding planning group thing was like in full effect, right? I got this wedding planning thing. It was in 2000, I want to say. Is that when I got married? Yeah. There was a lot of discussions about, I mean, of course, you know, strapless dresses and things like that. And there was another girl, and this is also what I remember too, is because there was another girl in my area who got in the same wedding dress I had. Because, you know, on these wedding boards, you could be like, you filter it down by like you, all the people in San Diego or whatever. Turns out we had the same wedding dress, but it's a strapless dress, but she got like a little bolero made so that she could be, because her wedding was going to be in Catholic church, to a guy who has MS.
Okay,
just as an aside. And it turns out who knew anyway, as an aside. But yeah, like stuff like that. So things like rules, like stupid rules. No.
I don't think that's like a written rule. I'm pretty sure that that's like an unwritten rule, because I remember like I was looking at a strapless dress for my wedding. And for me, like for my own comfort, I was like, I don't want to, like, because every friend I've ever had who got married in a strapless dress is like hiking it up the whole time. And I was like, I don't really want to be in a church, like worried that I'm going to like give people a free show. A
lot of reasons to not wear a strapless dress.
That was my-
I was 11 weeks pregnant at the time. So I had big boobs anyway. So it was like holding them up, but it was, you know, could have gotten very, very dangerous. Totally. Very so fast.
Like I added like little cap sleeves that were see-through just to like hold it up and like add a little bit of something, but like it wasn't necessarily because like I was in a church. It was just I don't want to give people a show.
Well, did you save your first kiss for the altar?
Please. I did not kiss dating goodbye. As Joshua Harris has since said, that was the worst book ever. Please never read it.
Wait, who? Wait, what?
So the seminal textbook for courtship was this book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye by a guy named Joshua Harris.
Oh my goodness.
It was like Purity Culture 101. And it was like huge deal. And he has since like denounced it and went through deconstruction. And I don't even know if he's still... would consider himself a Christian. I'm not sure, but like it caused a lot of anguish and spiritual abuse and pain for people. So no, I did not do courtship based on I Kissed Dating Goodbye.
Purity culture,
yeah, it's a whole other conversation, but sorry, I referenced something we went off on a tangent.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation that we can go down that when we talk about Jill Duggar's book and all of that stuff, because oh my god, when you start talking about like Garrick being like this like savior to these women down in Brazil, I was like, is he like trying to be a white savior like that woman in that whatever documentary? And I keep calling it white savior, but it's not. It's like.
So I still haven't finished it. I got emotionally drained.
Oh yeah, my god!
Turn it off.
Like, it's a lot.
There's so many things at play in it. Like, it's just there's so much to unpack with that docuseries.
Yeah, and so we are gonna do. But it goes to some of that, like, you know, when I joking about Captain Save-A-Ho, but like. Like it's kind of like what he's trying to do, right? But only in a religious way.
That totally
way.
Took me a minute. Okay. Wow. I am loving this. This is fantastic.
You're so professional, and I'm all over here talking about Jesus Semen.
I mean, we have to talk about it. It was in the show.
It was in the show. So we're on this Muslim couple. Okay. So they're dating somebody.
No, they've never met her.
And we don't know much about the person.
They've never met her, but she's going to meet the parents or the mom.
Yeah. Oh, no, they've never met her. Right. But she's let's talk about this scene where mom
the wordplay of she's a hot mess on a cool day just like was kind of amazing. I know that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, melting down like a hot mess on a
that phrase just like made it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mom Jamila. She's a little firecracker. So she's not happy about the fact that they're dating. She's not happy about it. She's talking about germs and saying like you're sharing all your germs and yada yada. And they're like, and her son Naeem's like, well, she's gonna be tested. Like, we're not gonna be sharing STDs, mom. And she's like, well, no, but you're still gonna be sharing bodily fluids together. And then he goes, my mother thinks it's germy because all she's thinking about is sex. And then Nayla, the wife is like, it's ignorant. It's so ignorant.
It really is. So let me like just talk about this for a minute, though, because, yeah, mom's like, yeah, it's germy. Like, it's somehow dirty to be having sexual relations with more than one partner. So when the wife was like, yeah, it's just ignorant and comes from a place of, you know, just not knowing and stuff, like, yeah, that was really bothersome to me. Of course they're going to, you know, of course they're going to be safe and all that stuff. But then they're talking about swapping bodily fluids. And she said something about, well, make sure everybody's pH is balanced out.
And all that made me think of is the Snowdens from when
And that's not a thing, you guys. That's not an actual thing. pH balance. Yeah. Your body is pH balanced. It already is. You don't need alkaline water. Your body's already balanced.
Have to do like a very strict like vegan diet however long those people live for.
Isn't that talking about high control, right? Isn't that one of the things, mm-hmm. the bite model, right? Controlling the behavior, like you've called it rules-based, like mm-hmm. religion or whatever, where you have to, it's kind of like you have to do these very specific
controlling
things,
food, even though food type and food intake or lack thereof and sleep intake is one of the main things that high control groups like to do.
So I heard her slip that in and I was like, oh, hell no, they're going to be crazy people. So they seem like they're smart and they've got their shit together and they've got all whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really attractive. I think she's gorgeous. But then she slips that in and I'm like, uh-oh, are we going to see some like yoni steaming too? Well, like, and also what are we going to see? Because me off that there's going to be something.
You got to watch out. Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, you watch out for those shows that start doing the woo stuff. Because, hey, you know,
mom, you were raised Muslim. Like, this shouldn't be such a surprise to you or whatever. Yeah. And then the best part I thought was
Jeremy.
The wife was saying, like, you're going on about the hows and whys, and you know, I want him to feel the love and support from someone else, blah blah blah, positive affirmations. And his mom was like, he can just go buy some books and some signs to put up in the house with positive affirmations.
Yeah, like,
I was right here. Laughing out loud. I was like, okay, that's funny.
Live, laugh,
that
was funny.
and then she said. And then she said her son needed therapy. Art. And I was like, okay,
you know, that'll like solve your issue. Are like
defending their sons and yada yada. And she's just like, put up some word art, put him in therapy, like do whatever. I'm like,
kid needs therapy.
His line to that, though, was hilarious. It was something like, well, I need therapy for stuff, but not that. And then, like, right. The implication not being I need therapy because of you.
Which is so true. Like, he's not deviant because he wants idea. To be polygamous. Idea. Like, let's you get know? That clear. Which,
you know? So.
Yeah.
Right, right.
She wants some alone time.
Because she wants, you know, she either wants to, yeah, either she wants to share the load or she wants
I don't believe it.
To lift him up so he can be even greater than he already is. Nope. They're balancing pH levels. Like, shit's gonna be weird. We're gonna get yoni steaming. We're gonna what's her name from show, Becca? She's gonna come in. Aqua is gonna come. Aqua, is that what's her name? She's gonna come in and start like massaging her genitals in front of people.
She's like, gonna do the whole thing. She's like, no, touch your genitals. And they're like,
I cannot. Well, then we see a preview for the season, yeah. And we've already covered basically what we you know are gonna see. Garrick is meeting some chick, and you know Danielle's upset and thinks he's gonna run away with her. And Nick's newest wife is crying, saying that she is upset about having to, you know, or Nick's gonna start dating again. And the other wives are like, "Hey, we need at least two more wives." And she's like, "Oh, woe is me." No, we can't do that. Oh,
yeah, because she's like, I just got married. Skip over like, one more, can't I just wonderful be the new quote wife,
by Mr.
The new
shiny Nick, new thing? When he talks about, and I didn't write down the whole thing because it was just, it was too much.
Oh.
But when he compared his sex life with his wife to the planets rotating around the sun, some planets get more sun than other planets, is basically what he was saying. So, what I interpret that being is some wives have sex with him more than others or whatever. Right.
But they get what they need. Wasn't that what he said or something like that?
Yeah. Some get closer to the sun at more often, and but they all spin independently.
I called him Galileo.
Some get more
in my notes.
And some
I
get
said,
less,
okay, now Galileo is speaking. Thinking of the
well, you know, he's thinking. So
you
much
know what
thinking.
I heard when he said that? I heard the like quote from Animal Farm where it's like all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
What I interpret that saying is Brittany has a baby, so he's definitely having sex with her frequently. And Danielle looks upset and is crying, or Daniel, whatever the new girl's name is. Jennifer, I don't know. I don't know her name anymore. Right, the third wife looks very sad and upset, and I'm like, she's getting the least amount of sun out of the other planets.
Well, she doesn't want to call the room the boom boom room.
Though she did make it clear she does go in there. Like she made a comment where she says, "I do go in there."
She calls it her sleep space. Like, SS. No, I'm kidding. I'm just making that up. Like. Because they're not doing anything in there. I don't know. I don't see a connection. I just don't see it. So.
She's just so shell-shocked to be alive in the world from whatever background she came from that.
Oh, 100%.
She's going to. And I bet it's going to happen this season. Realize that whole thing isn't working out for her.
Which is fascinating because it's been like 2 years. Like, it's not like it's been 6 months.
Yeah. But she does not look comfortable. You're right. Like her body language, everything about it is, and then the way that
the season's
going to
be wild.
It seems like
I have a feeling it's going to be a little crazy.
Yeah. So, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like we had, like, again, we had no plans to cover the show until suddenly we
I'm going
to
go back
and
watch
the
old
three of us
seasons
are covering it every week.
Love it.
I know, totally.
So I didn't even know, like, historically, I didn't know the show existed until Katrina told me to start watching it. And I literally, like, this was my show that I watched, like, when I was eating lunch, when I had, like, 10 minutes somewhere. And I was just like, Katrina, what did you do to me? Like, what is this show? Uh-huh. Like, and then, of course, you get invested. And then you, like, And you're like, why didn't this family return the next season? And then you like do some digging and find out about the Snowdens and you're like, holy crud, that's terrifying. And then and you just like find out all the stuff, kind of like Love is Blind, where you find out how many people were dating people.
Well, you and I, Katrina, talked about the Snowdens too, because we were talking about, I think it was you, producers had to have known what was really going on, like as far as some of the control aspects. I mean, I feel like after spending all those years with the Snowdens, at least, what, 3 years, right? 3 seasons at least. Like, you would have had to have seen something, like something going on. Because, I mean, there was a lot to unpack with that family. And I feel like, they cut it all out. Or didn't,
and everything else, yeah.
But, so they did that with the Duggars, too, to bring it back to the Duggars. Like, there was a lot of abuse happening there. And they just, like, hid it from them, right? Like, they just didn't show it when, and
maybe, I
feel like,
I will say those producers are sneaky stuff. And they will do everything, they just, they figure out how to get into, I don't know, but no, I get what you're saying. I just, and then the wife, the Snow, I forgot her name, Mrs. Snowden, apparently she was like really, really controlling and mean and awful. So I mean, there had to have been signs for production to be like, something's off after 3 years.
Besides them just being weird and
I don't know.
Wearing bindis because...
And eating their vegan diets.
Because? so to not
mess up pH levels. And he was another one that had sex with somebody, remember? He had sex with that flight attendant, I think it was.
Yeah, and they mention on was it? Oh no, I see. I'm getting confused with the couple to thruple show. There's a couple on there where they've tried this thing before. That is just couples who are inviting a third into their relationship, right? Where this couple had talked about their previous experience with polyamory and how he basically like boned her too soon.
Shocking.
And that seems
so
to be
shocking.
A running theme we see throughout Seeking Sister Wives, right? Is that the boundaries and the trust boundaries that are broken because the guy gets too intimate too soon. Whatever line that is for that particular couple, whether they kiss him with, you know, because you saw Roberta freaking out because Garrett kissed another girl, you know, and she considered that too much. Yeah. Well, allegedly.
Or she just wanted the money. Story line, she was getting... I mean, we'll never know.
We'll never know. See how much more she could get out of them.
Wild.
Yeah, so it seems to be a running thing.
Well, and that brings up like an interesting question of like, how are men trained in Western society to deal with sex versus how are women trained to deal with sex? And why is it that the men are always the ones who are being intimate too soon versus, right? So, like, it's interesting because, so I did watch the, like, the sister show. That sounds weird. Seeking Brother Husband, which was only one season.
Was it good?
Only six episodes.
Yeah, the girl with the really bad wig. Yeah.
It was interesting because, right, there's, like, this weird standard for, like, having multiple wives and one husband, like that's it's weird to say this, but like that's the normal way people think of like polygamy because historically polygamy often has been religious and that's how it is because religion loves patriarchy.
Well, and like we got to push as many babies as possible, and that's only one wife would bottleneck the situation. So you got to spread out your sperm.
Anyway.
I'm sure if you wear a head condom so sperm can't enter your brain, what that would look like.
Through all the wives.
Is it just like a plastic bag over your head? Like.
I'm just hiding my face right now.
We're talking about Jesus.
I'm sorry. Brain is going. I can't comprehend what I heard today, and I'm really trying to process it. We have not had a lot of time to I have had 1 hour to process this information. Okay,
we're still like, processing it.
I cannot with these people.
Well, what was interesting about Seeking Brother Husband is like it is a very different mindset to like have the woman looking for multiple husbands. And it was interesting because mm-hmm. I found myself sitting there and like people didn't know what to do with it. Like people didn't know, people don't really know what to do with like the polygamy with the multiple wives, but like at least they understand the model because that's the model that you see. But like legitimately, like there was this weird double standard where it was like, oh, she just wants to sleep around. And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. like why is no one having that conversation with the dudes then on Seeking Sister Wife? Right. Like it's a passing right. comment they'll make periodically here and there. Like, oh, people think mm-hmm. it's just about sex. It's not really just about sex. Right. But like
right.
on here, like right. it was like a constant where people were just like, oh, she just wants to sleep around. Yeah. Like, excuse me.
Yeah. The double standards. You're just like opening up like, you know, years of old therapy right? wounds, you know, trauma. Trauma wounds for sorry. Me about this. No, it's okay. But yeah, I mean, that is so true. The double standards. And you see that, I think, with the introduction of this bisexual woman and the comments that are being made about, well, aren't you sexual with her yet and stuff? And those are legitimate conversations that you need to have. And you've seen those with like men about, well, are you feeling some type of way right. towards her? And you know, and of course the men always are because they're always apparently breaking these rules and sleeping with them too soon. But yeah, I think we're going to see some of that. And it's probably going to frustrate me to no end. And what's remaining of my uterus and ovaries are going to throw
themselves at the TV. How many times are you allowed to throw your ovaries at the TV? I just want to, are we going to make a quota?
I mean, I've got one uterus, two ovaries, two fallopian tubes, maybe. Maybe if I
oh my just, goodness
like I don't need them anymore, right? So like just, you know, I mean they'll probably rip my IUD right out of my body anyway pretty soon in this country. Oh, so you know, might as well rip everything else out with it. Anyway, but I digress.
I'm so happy to Super be Tuesday, back y'all. With you ladies anyway. I really missed you too.
Yes, I know, me too, anyway,
this I'm so glad this came about. This is now, we are now covering the show, but also guess what starts tomorrow is my 600 pound life, so we'll be covering Doctor Now as well. The three of us will be back next week for more Seeking Sister Wife. Thank you guys. All right, bye.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D and I've had a reduction and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear. But not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.